Welcome to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life.
Love, 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 I'm in love, love, love. I can't get enough of you.
Now here's the host of Faith Matters, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters, and it's my delight this Sunday afternoon to have as our special guest, Junior Vasquez. Junior, you've been a legend around Lubbock and still are for the music and the performing and doing many other things. So welcome to Faith Matters.
Hey. Thank you for inviting me, Tom. It's an honor and a pleasure. I've heard you on the radio many, many times, but to hear your voice in the studio is something else. Thank you.
You come from a big family.
I am 65, so back in the day, I'm talking about the 50s, you know, that was just how it was. And so, yeah, we come from a big family. There was a total of 13. Mom had 13 kids. The first two that were born, one was stillborn and the other one was SIDS. It was two boys. The rest of us came down the line. And after those two guys, I'm number seven.
You know, you've had many experiences. Your dad worked on farms. Your family followed the crops up into Washington State.
Right.
What do you remember from those days?
I do have some vague memories. They're vague, but yet they're still there. There was a photograph that has been put out on social media that shows my dad and my mom and my oldest sister and then my dad's two brothers and his sister and his mom and his dad sitting on this big truck. My grandfather owned that truck. Being probably 3 or 4 years old, I was born in 1956, so that would have been 58, 59. I remember being somewhere up in the north, Colorado or Washington, and we were picking strawberries. And to this day, and whenever I bite into a fresh strawberry, because you're picking them fresh, you know, for the most part. And so we're out there kids, you know, and of course, we're just playing around. Us kids, we didn't really work. We were just kind of hanging out with mom and dad. And so you'd have these little baskets that you would put all these strawberries in, but, you know, you could eat as you went. So you would eat a fresh strawberry. And to this day, whenever I get a fresh strawberry, that aroma and that smell and that taste, boom, I'm back.
That is such an important part of the history of and how farming evolved and also the terrible conditions you had to contend with also, which were terrible.
We call them campos in Spanish, which is just the camp. But it would be like barracks. I remember barracks. There'd be like a common thing in the middle, common bathrooms. And I remember, you know, using our little wagon to go get coal to put into the stove for heating and eating and so forth. Yeah. It's amazing how this stuff comes back to you.
Of course it does. And then you settled around in the various small towns around Lubbock when your dad came back and began to work.
We got tired of roaming around and settled down and started working with some farmers outside of Idaloo when I was in the first grade. That, you know, would have been, you know, 1962. 61 and worked for some farmers there, and then we moved to Petersburg, and I was there till my fifth grade. Worked for some farmers there, you know, and they're farming, he's farming the land, irrigating, prepping the land, harvesting, planting, and all that kind of stuff. And it's hard work.
Hard work. And then we talked about introduction to the guitar. I think you were born with a guitar, Junior.
You know, it kind of seems that way.
And a song in your heart. And
yeah, there you go, a song in my heart, and music has always been a big part of my life. I have two older brothers. One of them is about 2.5 years older, and the other one was about 3.5 years older than I am. And we would sit around and pretend that we were musicians. And one of them would pretend he was a drummer, and the other one pretend he was a guitar. We didn't have anything, right? And I was pretending to play the accordion because we would listen to conjunto music, you know, when I was growing up.
Tell our listeners what conjunto is.
A musical group, and it consists of a drummer, a bass player, an accordionist, and then a guitar player that plays a guitar called bajo sexto. It's kind of like a 12-string guitar, but it's tuned differently, and it has a certain tone to it.
And the music, of course, would be out of northern Mexico.
Exactly, norteño. They call it norteño music, right. You could tell that it had the German background because, face it, that's where their accordions came from. Whenever the Germans moved to Mexico and they introduced the accordion. And so, you know, these crazy Mexican people got a hold of them and they made it their own. Make it into your own music. So I was introduced to music at an early age, and I didn't start playing guitar till I was 10.
A special tribute to your uncle, though. You talk lovingly of your uncle.
Yeah, my uncle Jacinto Vasquez. He was a couple of years younger than my dad, and he was a guitar player. He was one of those kind of guys that just loved to play guitar, and whenever we'd have family gatherings, he would be the one to bring the guitar and start playing songs, and everybody singing harmonies. And this is where I learned how to sing harmonies and listening to America, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, you know, and the Eagles, all the harmony. I was singing harmony at a young age, and we would sit around, and the person that would be singing the melody, we would call it primera, singing the first part, and then segunda was the second part, and tercera would be the third part. And they would say, hey, you, primera, you, segundo, you, tercera. You know? and so he taught me a few chords, you know, C and F and G, and he was a big influence with me also in an early age, introducing me to some gospel things. So he would come out to drive all the way out of Petersburg, pick us, some of us up that wanted to come to church, and he would come and get us and bring us to church. And we would go to the service, memorize scripture, and then when we come back, they would give us a toy. So I had the incentive to memorize scripture, and I really believe in all my heart, this is where God planted a seed in my heart that would later come to fruition in the early 80s. Mateo Chinto, he would continue playing gospel music up until he passed away about 10, 12 years ago. When he died, he was playing at a church, rehearsing at Our Lady of Grace. He was early 70s, mid-70s, bend over to pick up a pick. He'd had some heart problems. But anyway, drop the pick, bend over, hit the floor, gone. Massive heart attack. On the way down, boom.
But on the way down, he was on the way up.
Yeah, on the way, amen. That's exactly right. He was on the way, up, man.
But you know, you bring together cultures, backgrounds, the history of Lubbock and the surrounding areas, and that is so beautiful. And you also mentioned James Taylor. Yeah.
Just his songwriting and his melodies and melodic guitar playing, and just an inspiration. Of course, his voice is to die for.
At this point, Junior, we'll take a short break.
Okay.
And then we'll be back to continue
Sounds
this
great.
Delightful, colorful conversation. Thank you.
The pleasure's mine. Thank you.
I will be yours. If you be mine, could you be my friend? I will be yours. If you be mine, could you be my friend?
Listening to Faith Matters on 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
Look what you've done to my heart. Beat, oh, it's beating once again. Thought we'd forever be apart. But now I think I understand. Love never ends.
Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
I'm Tom McGovern, host of Faith Matters. If you're joining us late this Sunday afternoon, our special guest is Junior Vasquez. And Junior and Chuck Luck, our producer, and myself have been going down memory lane. Before we were on break, Junior said, we are stories. We are storybooks. You mentioned the influence of your uncle, and you began to perform then. And would it be in clubs in Lubbock?
When I moved to Lubbock in 1971, I was playing guitar already, obviously some, but at that point, I didn't even own a guitar. One thing that I didn't mention also is that my parents, they just didn't have the wherewithal to try to feed and clothe 11 kids and themselves. And so I would play on my uncle's guitar whenever I was around his house. My older brother, because he would get jobs in the summer, he was able to buy a guitar early on when I was probably about 12 or 13. So I would, on occasion, sneak away and play his guitar, even though he didn't want me to. You know, leave my guitar alone, but I would still get sneaky in there and play guitar. So I didn't actually own a guitar till I was 15 years old. And so when we moved to Lubbock in 71, went to Matthews Junior High, and there I met these two fellas by the name of Paul and Jay Tenayuki, who became really good friends of mine. We figured out that all three of us play guitar, so one thing led to another. We started playing guitars together. Between the ninth grade and my sophomore year, we put a little three-piece together. We were called Instant Tea, because we loved Instant Tea. And so we performed a little bit around, like, at the Fair Park Coliseum. You remember that? They used to have that little stage that they had outside on Sundays, you know, and they would have some music there. There was this thing called the Gentle Sunday, and they would have this at a theater, outside of one of these theaters, and it was a bunch of hippies get together and they would play music.
They were the formative years for you.
Yeah, right. Because I didn't actually play a club till probably the summer between my sophomore and junior year. This one I played at Chelsea Street Pub.
And then Chuck used to sneak in to
Fat Dogs. They came a little bit later. Yeah, that was 77, you said, right?
Yeah.
You know, between 73, 74, when Chelsea Street Pub opened. I was a junior in high school, and it was a restaurant, of course, but it was a restaurant slash bar. And so we would play there till, you know, midnight or whatever. And
as you remember those years and the music you played all this time in your soul, in your being, the love of the music and the love of the guitar was being developed and nurtured and growing.
It's true. And as I was progressing in that and learning, listening to music and figuring out how to mimic other people's chords and listening and learning other people's music, at that point I really wasn't writing much music. And I'm still not a prolific writer by any stretch of the imagination, but I've learned how to write music the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
But along the way also, when I was a junior in high school, I met Mickey, who later on became my wife. And she was also instrumental in kind of pushing me along with my music because she played the piano. I was singing in the choir in my sophomore year and junior year. And there was this beautiful lady, young girl with long blonde hair playing the piano. She was the accompanist, you know. And I told a buddy next to me, I said, you know that girl out there? She's going to be mine. And so we started dating and we started playing music together even in high school. One of the first songs that we played together was Morning Has Broken by Cat Stevens.
Oh, I love that.
We got to perform there at Lubbock High School Auditorium. And so we started performing in school and so those kind of things too. So, and my wife at that point wasn't really involved with the band yet. She came in a little bit later.
After that, after getting out of high school, I love the way you described it. You said you had to support your family, obviously, so you had labor manual.
Yeah, manual labor, you know, manual labor, manual labor. Yeah. I was saying that really music was a way for me to supplement what I was doing during the day. Unless you wanted to make a really good living playing music, you would have to go. You'd have to leave Lubbock, you know, and travel. And I did a little bit of that, but I kept my roots here. So I worked all kinds of jobs, you know, from roofing to landscaper to sheetrocker. And in the early 80s, in 81, that's when I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and I committed my life to him and decided that I was wanting to be a disciple of Jesus and started following his teachings. We started listening to contemporary Christian music back then, and my wife and I got involved in helping several churches along the way from the early 80s through the 90s. There was this transformation was happening in all the churches, you know, bringing in musical instruments, you know, and you know how that fight was, you know. What, a guitar, drums in the sanctuary? Oh, my God.
That was not just unique to any particular denomination.
No, it was.
Across all the Christian churches in town, yeah, Catholic, right. Methodist, Baptist, people thought it was obscene, unholy, sacrilegious.
Amen. All those things. Yeah, all of those things. You know, the 7-Eleven choruses, they would call it. You know, you repeat the same words 12 times in a row. I mean, I went through all of that. My wife and I were armor bearers. You know, we went out there and people were shooting arrows at us all the time.
You introduced contemporary Christian worship music to many of the churches in town. First Methodist.
Yeah, First Methodist. I was there for 10 years, you're right.
And then other churches.
Actually, Alliance Baptist and Oakwood Baptist. And I'm still playing. The thing that was consistent in my life and Mickey's life was doing contemporary Christian worship music in many churches. We knew what we were involved in, but now looking back, a big thing.
Quite a few expressions of worship is contemporary music.
Yeah. What's happened, too, is that, maybe early on it was a little shaky, maybe to some people or what or not, but the longer that I look at it and the more that I'm in it, the majority of those songs, they were all based on Scripture. What was different was the style. The word was the same. Apostle Paul, he says, to the Jew, I became as a Jew. To the Greek, I became as a Greek. You know, in other words, in order to save more, you know.
And then you did it with music.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Contemporary music.
Yeah, amen. And, you know, he was harassed for doing all of that himself.
And then there was a time with Sonny Cassee, the legendary sheriff of Lubbock, we all deeply loved, yeah.
Yeah, Sonny was an awesome man. I was there from 89 to 98. Sonny, he was an influence on me as well as looking at somebody that didn't have to be kind, didn't have to love on people, didn't have to be generous. He just did it because that's who he was.
And he carried it into the jail ministry.
Oh, exactly.
His respect for the
people. That's what I'm saying, right? I mean, it wasn't just for his deputies, but it was also for the inmates. And, you know, his heart was huge. And he loved people. He understood people because he had been there, you know.
He was in recovery, too.
Yeah, sure, he was.
Brought that gratitude for his own well-being into his love and care, especially people who are struggling.
I got to visit with him on many, many, many occasions. I was part of a program while I was there. It was called the Drug Team. And this was something that he came up with, and myself and another person, we sat down and talked, and how we wanted to go out to the community centers and to the schools, and bring the concept of the anti-gang, anti-drug message to the kids at a young age. And myself and another deputy, we would go and we would bring a couple of inmates, the trustees with us, and we would go and speak to kids. So these inmates would talk from experience, and they say, look, here's what we did. And it was a great program, and it was Sonny's.
Then nowadays we've got the drug court, which is just wonderful that people with drug problems, instead of putting people in jail, we put them in, we help them to get
rehab, yeah, you bet.
And
you
get
bet.
Recovery.
And so that was just his heart.
His loving spirit and his sense of instant connection, like electricity.
Yeah. Yeah, everywhere he went, I mean, it was no doubt that wherever he was, I mean, he was this gigantic, literally, presence, but also his just personality.
And his heart was as big as his stature, you know.
He was, yeah, he was. He was. God rest his soul. And
at this point, Junior will take a short break, and then we'll be back with the final segment of this wonderful conversation. Thank you.
When I was a little bitty boy, Dad bought me my favorite toy. I would ride my bike all day. Be home by six, I heard him say. He was always there for me. Turned his back, you see. Sometimes work took him away, but Saturday mornings I would say, Dan, take me to the ballpark. Dan, take me to the movies. Dan, you're really groovy. You're the greatest dad around. Dan, I thank the Lord for you. Dan, I'm thinking of you. Dan, I really love you on this Father's Day.
Listening to Faith Matters on 89.1. Welcome back to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1.
Sky is getting clear, the clouds are moving on. I sense a new beginning, I knew it all along. That a season is a season, it gets cold for a while. Just keep on believing it'll turn around somehow. Somehow. I've been told do for tomorrow and live for today. One thing that I learned is to make my way. Some say they will help you and some they really will. Oh, they have their own journey, they're trying to make it still. So just hold on, it'll turn around, it'll turn around, it'll turn around.
Here again is your host, Tom McGovern.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. If you're joining us late this Sunday afternoon, our special guest, Junior Vasquez. And then there was the Cactus Theater.
I met Don in the early 70s, back when he had, you know, Caldwell Studios. And so I already had a connection with Don throughout the 70s and the 80s and recorded a few things at his studio. And was when Lloyd Maines was producing some stuff there, he helped produce some stuff for me and my wife, Mickey, back in the early 90s. And word got out that Don and several other investors had bought out the Cactus Theater and they were refurbishing it and they're going to start having musical events there. So we started singing some 40s and 50s nostalgic shows, and then came the Buddy Holly story, and I was asked to be part of that. Donnie Allison played Buddy, I played Richie. And from that, there was a young man named Jeremy Boring that was helping produce, you know, the shows there. He moved on to California, wanting to be a movie producer and so forth and so on. At that time, also, Andy Wilkinson, who we all know, a great singer, songwriter, and poet, a history buff, knows all kinds of things around here, specifically Charles Goodnight. I think they were related. He's like somewhere along the line. Well, him and a fellow by the name of Red Steigall, who's also a poet, singer, songwriter, wrote a musical called The Soul of the West. The Soul of the West is a storyline behind the Palo Duro Canyon and Charlie Goodnight, and I was asked to play the part of a Spanish sheep herder named Cola Martinez. That was a musical as well. From working with Don at the Cactus Theater and then being invited to be part of this, we played at the Bass Theater in Fort Worth, play out at Washington State University in D.C., and it was a wonderful play. It was a lot of fun, and I got to meet Barry Corbin and really main actors that I got to work with, some people that were big time. Jeremy Boring was part of that. Jeremy Boring got a hold of me and some other local artists like Kenny Maines and asked if we wanted to audition for this movie that he's putting together, The Arroyo, you know, the movie about a rancher that lives in Arizona having to fight all the drug cartels, bringing the drugs across the border. I auditioned and I got the part of the sheriff, Ed Barton. Kenny was the rancher and I was the sheriff. That was a wonderful thing. I got to go to L.A. and we did the red carpet thing. And who would have thunk, you know, my big old fat head on the big screen up there. Anyway, that was another experience. Part of the story, right? As we're telling stories, you know. And who would have thunk in 1956, this young kid that was born to a family of 13 and out in Lorenzo would find himself on the big screen. And I'm not saying that I made it big or anything of that nature, but in my mom's eyes, I did. She got to go see her son on a big screen, and it was the best thing that ever happened to her. Or one of the best things, anyway.
Always central to your story, Junior, has been your love of contemporary Christian gospel music.
I was reading Psalm 107. The theme of 107, there's all these verses that talk about, you know, God delivering his people from trouble. Verse 23, it says, "They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind and lifts up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end." And they were at the wits' end, and then what do? Then they cry out unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress, and he makes the storm calm.
At this point, we will listen to that beautiful rendering of Wits' End.
How did I get here? What am I doing here? I'm supposed to be farther ahead. Must be mistaken. The road I've taken has led me here instead. I'm at my wit's end. I'm at my wit's end. Lord, help me start all over again. I'm at my wit's end.
Thank you for that beautiful Wit's End. Delightful.
Whoa. I had never seen that before, and I'm sure that I've read it somewhere along the line, but it just kind of stuck out to me, and I thought, wow, I need to write a song about that. And anyway, so that's what came out.
Some old hippies and yourself have put together a group that meets on a Sunday.
About 10 years ago, when I felt like it was time for me to move on and do something different. Anyway, so all that said, I decided that I wanted to continue doing something along that line, some kind of ministry. I got this idea about gathering people together from the east, the west, the south, and the north. The first time that we met at a storefront on Texas Avenue. A good friend of mine named Wally Moyers was in contact with another good friend of mine, David Miller, who was running the Spirit Ranch. And David Miller asked Wally, "Do you know anybody that can come out here? And I want to start some kind of a little Christian fellowship out here on Sundays, out at the Spirit Ranch, you know, the old County Line restaurant." And so Wally says, "I don't know, but get a hold of Junior." And so at the old proverbial again, one thing led to another, right? And we met, and it'll be 10 years now in September that we started a fellowship out at the Spirit Ranch. It's called the Gathering of Lubbock. We gather out there once a week. My wife and I, Mickey and Kenny Maines, Kerry Banks, we're the music. And then I bring the conversation, and we meet inside the restaurant, and there's the gigantic trees, the peacocks, the water. Woo! We're very non-traditional. We don't have all the ministries, you know, the children's ministry, the women's ministry, the men's ministries. We're not set up that way. We're just set up to meet once a week. And we're not into numbers. We're not trying to see how many people we can get saved or baptized or, you know, how many people join the church. This is just about people coming together, encouraging one another. Go forth, be the light, and then come back next week. We'll refuel. We'll fill it up again. We'll go drink of that water. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 out at the Spirit Ranch or the E&J Smokehouse and Grill now, the old County Line restaurant, you know, Escondido Canyon, off of I-27 and Regis Street. The address is 712 Regis. Come as you are. Probably if you wear a tie, I'll cut it off.
Okay. Thank
no,
you.
No, just joking.
What would you say to our listeners by way of encouragement this Sunday afternoon?
Life is full of adventures. Life is also full of discouragements and downs and pain. But yet, that's just life. And I would encourage you to never give up and never say never. There's always hope. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, where you've been, what color your skin is. You're tall, skinny, fat, short, Hispanic, black, Asian, whatever. It don't matter. You're God's child, and God is calling you. He is seeking you out, and he's knocking at the door. He is not going to just break the door down. He's knocking, and he wants to come in and sup with you. He wants to come in and fellowship. He wants to converse with you.
Just been a delight, Junior. Thank you so much.
And God bless you, Tom.
You've been listening to Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1 with your host, Tom McGovern. Join us next Sunday for another edition of Faith Matters on KTTZ FM 89.1, a service of Texas Tech Public Media.
Been walking in the dark way too long, stumbling, not knowing where I belong. You've been patiently awaiting, and now I think I finally understand how to walk in the